Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hello, everyone. I am so excited that you're able to join us for this new normal, which is now church online. Although I'd rather us all be here together on a Sunday morning, I'm glad that we're able to bring church to you and right into your home. So if you're just joining us today, my name is Pastor Joe. I'm the lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's such an honor to connect with you and to be with you online this morning. And we're in week two of the message series called A New Normal. And 2 months ago, our world was turned upside down. And what was once normal became abnormal. And what was abnormal became normal. I want you to think about the changes that we all experienced over these past 2 months. Recently, I went to the store and things are just so different. Now you have to wear a mask and now you have to have so much social distancing and people are not looking at each other in the eyes. And I don't know about you, but I am anxious to get back to normal. I'm anxious to get back to a restaurant. I can't wait to go back to the movie theater. I can't wait to get my normal life back. But let me ask you this question. What if God doesn't want us to go back to normal? What if God is using this circumstance to change our lives? What if God, I know that God didn't cause what was happening right now, but what if God is going to use it to strip away some things that we needed to be stripped from our lives? Some things that were blocking our relationship with Him. You know, when I read Scripture, I find that God uses trials and troubles to bring change into people's lives. And you know what God wants from us? He wants us to change. He doesn't want us to be the same. He wants us to become new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And God wants us to change. God wants us to become new creations. And perhaps this virus has made many of us realize that there's some things in our life that just needs to change. Well, I came across this cute little video of a bedtime story that really illustrates this point. Take a moment and watch.
Tell me the one about the virus again, then I'll go to bed.
But my boy, you're growing weary, sleepy thoughts about your head.
Please, that one's my favorite. I promise just once more.
Okay. Snuggle down, my boy, though I know you know full well. The story starts before then, in a world I once would dwell. It was a world of waste and wonder, of poverty and plenty, back before we understood why hindsight's 2020. You see, the people came up with companies to trade across all lands, but they swelled and got much bigger than we ever could have planned. We'd always had our wants, but now it got so quick, you could have anything you dreamed of in a day, and with a click. We noticed families had stopped talking. That's not to say they never spoke, but the meaning must have melted, and the work-life balance broke. And the children's eyes grew squarer, and every toddler had a phone. They filtered out the imperfections, but amidst the noise, they felt alone. And every day the skies grew thicker, till you couldn't see the stars. So we flew in planes to find them, while down below, we filled our cars. We'd drive around all day in circles. We'd forgotten how to run. We swapped the grass for tarmac, shrunk the parks till there were none. We filled the sea with plastic, because our waste was never capped. Until each day when you went fishing, you'd pull them out, already wrapped. And while we drank, and smoked and gambled. Our leaders taught us why. It's best to not upset the lobbies. More convenient, die. But then in 2020, a new virus came our way. The governments reacted and told us all to hide away. But while we all were hidden, amidst the fear and all the while, the people dusted off their instincts. They remembered how to smile. They started clapping to say thank you and calling up their mums. And while the car keys gathered dust, they would look forward to their runs. And with the skies less full of voyagers, the earth began to breathe, and the beaches bore new wildlife that scuttled off into the seas. Some people started dancing, some were singing, some were baking. We'd grown so used to bad news, but some good news was in the making. And so when we found the cure and were allowed to go outside, we all preferred the world we found to the one we'd left behind. Old habits became extinct, and they made way for the new. And every simple act of kindness was now given its due.
But why did it take a virus to bring the people back together?
Well, sometimes you've got to get sick, my boy, before you start feeling better. Now lie down and dream of tomorrow and all the things that we can do. And who knows, if you dream hard enough, maybe some of them will come true. We now call it the Great Realization. And yes, since then, there have been many. But that's the story of how it started, and why hindsight's 2020.
Now, what are you beginning to realize about your life? What area of your life has this pandemic shown you where you need to change? Where do you see God at work in your life right now? And last week, we talked about this one big mistake that you and I can make. One of the biggest mistakes that we can make is just to get through this pandemic and not grow through the pandemic. One of the biggest mistakes we can make is to just get through it and not allow God to change us through it. God wants to change us. God wants us to be different. When we go back to physical normal, God doesn't want us to go back to physical normal. He wants us to begin living a new normal. A new normal that includes a passionate relationship with Him. A new normal that includes connection with your family. A new normal that includes less busyness, less activity, less things to do. A new normal that includes a passion for a relationship with God, a passion for the presence of God. All throughout the scripture, we read how God uses difficulties and challenges and trials and troubles to change us and to lead us into a new normal. And last week, we looked at the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel left Canaan, and we're going back all the way to Exodus. The children of Israel left Canaan in Exodus chapter, in Genesis, the children of Israel left Canaan, and they went to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And instead of entrusting in God, they turned to Egypt. Egypt was a pagan nation led by a pagan ruler who served the pagan god called Ra, Pharaoh. And although they had their immediate needs met, eventually they were enslaved by the Egyptians. But God saw their misery, God heard their cry, and God desired to rescue His people. So we read in the scriptures how God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel. He sent 10 plagues, and after the 10th plague, the children of Israel were released. Imagine that, after 400 years of slavery, the children of Israel were finally released. And God used this difficult situation in their life to lead them into a new normal. You see, God's plan for them was not one of slavery, not one of fear, but one of freedom, one of worship. God had a land for them. God had a land of freedom. He had a promised land for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I truly believe God has a promised land for us. God has incredible blessings in store for us. God has a purpose for our life. God has a plan for our life. God has an incredible future for our lives. Regardless of what we're experiencing, I know this, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And sometimes, just sometimes, He will allow difficulties in our lives to lead us into the plan and purpose that He has for us. So here we have the children of Israel. They were in bondage and in slavery. God sent Moses. They were delivered. And now they begin to move towards their destiny. They begin to journey towards the promised land. And after a couple of days, they reach their first obstacle. It was a difficult obstacle because that obstacle was the Red Sea. And once they approached the Red Sea, they heard that Pharaoh had a change of plans, change of mind. He chased down and he began to rethink what he was doing. So he began to chase down the children of Egypt or the children of Israel so he would once again put them into bondage. So there are the children of Israel facing the Red Sea. And in Exodus 14, verse 15, we read, how the children of Israel began to complain and began to murmur. And this is what they said in verse 11. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert. There they are. They finally are free. They finally experience freedom. They reach their first obstacle, and they begin to complain and want to go back to normal. They want to go back to the way things were. And this is the thing. God was leading them into a new normal. And that new normal was a life of faith and trust in God. But instead, they wanted to remain in slavery and fear. But God wanted them to depend on Him for everything. That's the new normal God was leading them to. God wanted His people to depend on Him for everything. So what did they do? They complained. They wanted to go back. And God speaks to Moses. And God says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. In other words, don't look back. The past is done. Egypt is closed, and now I'm opening a door forward to the promised land. I'm leading you to cross the Red Sea. So God spoke to Moses and said in verse 16, raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on the dry ground. So the Israelites had a decision whether they were going to cross the Red Sea or go back to Egypt. But by faith, they move forward into the destiny that God had for them. They were in this in-between phase. They were at a wall, and in front of them was a wall, and behind them was the enemy. But what they do? They trusted in God. They began to learn that God was their way maker. That's what they needed to learn. And that was the new normal that they were experiencing, that God wanted them to learn that He was their waymaker, that they could depend on Him for everything. You know, the more we depend on God, the more we depend on God, the more dependable we find Him to be. The more we depend on God, the more dependable we find Him to be. And that's what God wanted to teach the children of Israel. And that's what God wants to teach us right now. When there's so much uncertainty in the future, when we look at our lives and we see problems ahead, and when we've been praying for God to answer a prayer, or when we've been trying to figure out and solve our own problems, what God wants us to learn is to depend on him. That is our new normal. Faith and trust and dependency upon God. Because the more we depend on God, the more dependable we find him to be. So at that moment, the Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And what did they do? They have a worship service. It was amazing. Exodus 15 tells us what happens. The Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. You ready? This is a little bit how the song went. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both the horse and driver, he's thrown into the sea. Well, that's not how they sang it. They might have sang it like this. I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted. He's both the horse and driver. He's hurled into the sea. Sing it with me. Come on, guys. You're not going to sing this with me? All right. This is the song, a really weird song, but they said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. Then he says this in verse 3. Watch this. The Lord is my strength and my defense. This is a song now. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 3 says this. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And the whole chapter is powerful. Sing it. Sing it at home. Come on, guys. I want you to sing it at home. So they sing this incredible song of worship and praise and adoration. They're all playing the tambourines and the worship team's going. And they now are beginning their journey to the promised land. And after 3 days, they faced another obstacle. And they became thirsty. And they began to look for water. And they couldn't find water. How many know that after 3 days you need water? This is a life and death situation. They need fluids in their body. They need to replenish themselves. For without water, they would die. And as they're walking in Exodus 15, verse 23, it says, when they came to Marah, they saw water. Great. There's water. And just imagine 3 days of being thirsty, and you see water. And you run towards the water, but they could not drink the water because it was bitter. They went from a place of blessing to a place of bitterness. They went from praising God to questioning God. This was a serious problem. This was a life and death situation. And now they came to a bitter place. A place of bitter waters. You know, at some point in our lives, we are all going to come to some bitter waters. At some point in our lives, we're all going to face a challenge, a trial, a trouble that's just going to leave a bitter taste in our mouth. You ever been there? You ever been at that dark place in your life where you're so desperate for God to step in and intervene, and it just seems like life is full of bitter water? I mean, life brings bitterness sometimes. There are good times and tough times, hard times and easy times, happy times, times of sadness and sorrow. There's ups and downs, and there are times in which we have to drink some bitter water. We don't like bitter. I don't like bitter. I don't like bitter food. I don't like how bitter food tastes, and we use bitter as a negative word. I mean, in the winter, when it's really cold, it's bitter cold. When someone has an attitude and they get offended, maybe they're bitter. We use this word bitter to describe difficult experiences we face in life. Let me ask you, what bitter taste is in your mouth today? What are you bitter about? What bitterness are you experiencing today? What's that bitter taste that you have in your mouth? What are the bitter waters that you are drinking today? You know, we have two responses to bitter waters. The first is very obvious, bitterness. When we come to bitter waters, we are tempted to get bitter and upset. and offended and mad at God and mad at people. And some of you watching and some of you listening just have bitterness in your heart. And the Bible talks about bitterness being a root that goes deep into our hearts. And so many of us have roots of bitterness because we experience bitter waters in our lives. We experience difficulties and challenges. And what did Israel do? Well, they got bitter. They began to complain once again. The people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink? Like, come on, Moses." And they wanted to go back to normal. And this is the thing. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, when we begin this journey of faith, we're going to experience troubles and trials and difficulties. And there will always be a temptation to turn our back from God or to walk away from our faith or to doubt God or doubt God's plan for our life or doubt God's purposes for our lives. We always come to a place in which God tests our faith. And when we are at those bitter waters, we have a decision to make. Are we going to get bitter? Are we going to have bitterness in our mouth or bitterness in our soul? Or, secondly, are we going to have confidence? Are we going to have confidence when we are at the bitter waters? Are we going to have faith and confidence that although the waters are bitter, we know that God will provide? And if He promised good things to us and for us, we know without a doubt that God is going to change the circumstances and work all of these difficult circumstances for our good. We have a decision to make. Are we going to get bitter or are we going to respond with confidence and trust in the plan and purposes of God, believing that God has a purpose, God has a plan, God has a promised land for me. God has a destiny for my life. God has something great in store for me. God has a great future for me, and it's not dependent upon what I'm experiencing or what I am drinking at this moment. This I know. The waters might be bitter. I might be thirsty, but this I know. God has a plan. God has a purpose, and God is going to take me through this experience. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, got bitter. They complained, they grumbled, they wanted to go back to normal, but God said, no, I want to lead you to a new normal, which meant what? Depend on me for everything. Because the more you depend on me, the more dependable you will find me to be. That's what God was teaching them. Depend on me, because the more you depend on me, not just in the big moments in life, but the everyday moments in life, the more you depend on me, the more dependable you will find Him to be. And that's what God is doing in our lives right now. You know what God is causing us to do? Depend on Him. Depend on Him for safety. Depend on Him for provision. Depend on Him for our finances. And the more we depend on Him, the more dependable we're going to find Him to be. And guess what? Once we get through what we're going through, once we get through this trial, once we get through this struggle, we're going to come out stronger. We're going to come out with a stronger faith and trust in God. We're going to see how God delivered us. We're going to see how God protected us. We're going to see how God sustained us. That only happens when we drink bitter waters. So here, the question we ask when we face bitter waters is, God, how are you going to change me? Or God, how do you want to use this bitter water to change my life? Whenever you face trials, whenever you face troubles, you have to ask the question, God, what do you want to change in my life? What area do you want to work in? Don't get bitter. Respond the way Moses responded. And in verse 25, we read how Moses responded. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And this is what happened. He took the wood, he threw it into the bitter waters. And what happened? The bitter waters became sweet. God transformed the bitterness into something sweet. And when I think of something sweet, the first thing that comes to my mind is chocolate milk. I don't know why. When I think of a sweet drink, I think of chocolate milk or a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee. You know, I haven't talked about Dunkin' Donuts in a while, but I'm going to bring it back right now. Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee, large, with 5 pumps of hazelnut swirl. That's what God did to his bitter situation. He turned it into a river of Dunkin' Donuts sweet coffee. Think about that. Bitter was where they were. Follow me now. But sweet was where God was taking them. Don't allow the bitterness to hijack your future. Don't take the bitterness into your future. Allow the Lord to transform the bitterness in your life to something sweet, because he promises to turn all things and work all things together for our good. He promises to transform the bitterness of the situation into something beautiful. That's what he promises in his word. He wants to transform your bitterness and my bitterness into something sweet. Don't allow bitterness of today. Don't allow the bitterness of today make you lose sight of what God is going to do tomorrow. Let me say that again. Don't allow the bitterness of this moment. Don't allow the bitterness of this season. Don't allow the bitterness of what's going on in our world today to cause you to lose sight of what God is going to do tomorrow. Because I know this. There are seasons in this life. There's times to tear down and times to build up. There times of crisis and times of blessing. There are good times and there are bad times. And there are times in which we are sick. And then there's times in which we are healthy. And I know this. God is going to transform the bitterness of the moment into something beautiful and into something sweet. God is working in our lives, and he's taking those bitter waters wherever they are in your life, and he's going to do something sweet in your life. So real quick, as we wrap this up, after they drank, they became hungry. Again, they murmured and they complained. So first, God provides water, and then they become hungry, and this is what God did. Instead of the nation of Israel, instead of entrusting in God, they began to complain, want to go back to normal again. But God once again provided for them. In Exodus 16, we read that the Israelites said, if we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, at least we were around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But then the Lord said to Moses, you will no longer, and your people, my people, will no longer be provided for by a pagan god in a pagan nation. They are going to learn to depend on me because I am their provider. I want them to trust me enough to provide for their every need. Normal was slavery. Normal was fear. Normal was bondage. The new normal was going to be freedom. And the new normal was going to be God's blessing and God's provision in their life. So what did God do? God spoke to Moses and said, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I'm going to bless you with bread, and I'm going to bless you with water. And this is what God wants to do in our lives when we face difficulties. He wants to pour out his spirit. Water in the New Testament is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to give you a measure of His Spirit. Even in the difficulty, even though you walk through the valley, even though you're in the dark times, God is releasing His Spirit in your life, and He is satisfying the longing of your soul, the thirst you have. Some of you are so thirsty, not physically, but spiritually. And every drink you're trying is bitter, but God says, no, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, I will give you rest. And He says, drink of me, for I will give you a water that will that once you drink this water, you will never again become thirsty. And bread is a symbol of Christ. Jesus said that He was the bread of life. There is fresh bread for us. Just like there was manna that came down from heaven and God provided the manna, God is preparing a table before you. Just like David wrote, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When things are difficult, when challenges are great, God wants to strengthen your faith and teach you that He can provide for all of your needs. He wants you to depend on Him. And the more you depend on Him, the more dependable you will find Him to be. What is God teaching you through this season that we're in? Where does God want you to change? What is the new normal that God is leading you to? I'm learning many things through this season, but one thing that I am learning is to depend upon God, not just for some things, but for everything. I'm learning to trust Him. I'm learning to trust Him with our church. I'm learning to trust Him with my life. I'm learning to trust Him with my family. I'm learning to trust Him with my boys. I'm learning to trust Him with my future. I'm learning to depend on Him for everything. You know what I've learned over these past few weeks? That the more I depend on God, the more I've learned that God is dependable, that He can be depended upon. And that gives me greater confidence to trust God. We don't know when we're going to reopen. We don't know when the end of this pandemic is going to be. We don't know the future. We don't know if we're going to get sick. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there's going to be school. We don't know about the future of our country, the future of our state. We don't know about our finances. But this I know, that God is my source, that God is my provider, and God is my healer. And if God is with me, and if I'm walking with God, He is going to provide for my every need. And He's going to change my bitterness into something sweet. So the more we depend on God, the more dependable we will find Him to be. Where do you need to trust God more? In what area of your life do you need to say, Lord, I surrender to you and I trust you? We're going to take a moment to pray. And as we pray, would you just bow your head with me? And just in an act of surrender, could you just lift your hands and say, God, I surrender everything to you. I surrender my heart and my life, my future, my finances, my marriage, my family. And Lord, I am going to cross over into this new normal, which requires total dependency upon you. Lord Jesus, I depend on you. Could you pray that with me? Could you say, Lord Jesus, I depend on you. I trust you. I know you're going to meet my need. I know you're going to answer my prayer. I know you're going to transform the bitterness into something sweet. I know you're leading me into something sweet. Lord, I trust you and I thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen.